For example, this place that we are talking about, that is the studio, is not as important, as good as, for example, the a place of a mosque. Or this mosque in our vicinity is not as important as the mosque of Kaaba, right? So definitely, if everything, these concepts of time and place are not equal, then there might be some places or some times that, which are not that good as the other times. For example, there might be some bad times also, or at least not bad times, some ordinary times and some better times.
Of course, we cannot do comparison here. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or for example in narration, we have that if you go to the mosque or while raining, if you pray, then you have more reward. We cannot compare it to this point, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the noble prophet and his pure progeny themselves explained for us that if you do it in that time or in that place, it has much reward for that. Okay, but here that the in this context that we are talking about, celestial body first of all does not have any effect on the behavior on human being. Even if you go to the astronomy, astronomists even themselves, they do not believe for sure that, for example, this ruling coming out and stemming from this celestial body. I want to say that first of all, there are not certain knowledge. We cannot, and secondly, we cannot attribute it to the religion, and we cannot extract any Islamic laws or any divine law from these celestial bodies. Okay? So there are some presumption, some possibilities that maybe, for example, it has some, for example, we understand that some dislike when it is moon in Scorpio, or so on and so forth. Maybe we can have some other example for that.
Look, Sheikh, that's true. Thank you. As for the astronauts and, or let's say, celestial body, it is taken for granted and noted. Let's go to the importance of some days and lack of importance for some other days. For example, we have Ayyam al-Nahasat, as you referred to, and we have some Ayyam Mubarak, that is the blessed days. Or the bad days like that of that has not good omen. How can we need to compare between these two, Sheikh, because there are two quite clear, let's say, concepts which we can see and witness in Quran. How can we look at these two concepts here?
As I said, I just want to reiterate on the point that the reason that Noble Quran called that a specific day to be bad, to have bad omen, or to have some kind of evil attached to that, it is only because of the behavior of that community. Bal antum qawm musrifun. They are transgressors.
So you want to say that nothing has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
I want to say that nature, days, time, places,
no doubt,
they are pure.
No doubt. Whatever comes from Allah is pure and what is goodness. Like, khayruka ilayna nazil wa sharuna ilayka sa'id. That is what Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says in a prayer. Like, so no doubt on that. But with our activities, the effect of my own activity is something bad that makes that time bad omen, right?
Exactly.
So I think this is quite clear in some bad omens and good omens. So we are prevented to do some actions in the times of bad omen.
Of course, as I said, the important point here is to understand this point, that whatever consequences, that the negative consequences that we face is because of our actions, okay? If we practice wrongly, if you have a lot of mistake here, consequently we face a lot of problem, okay? For example, in the verse of Noble Quran, فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ Whatever problem and affliction you have, or at least some part of the afflictions and problems, it stems from your own behavior and wrong actions. Okay? This is, some part of the question, the answer for this question. But talking about the bad omen and, we have a lot of, superstition here in this regard. Many, unfortunately, some people, they want to support this idea to attain some financial benefit for that. To say, for example, this is bad omen, you cannot do that action. And a lot of superstition, unfortunately, attached to this idea.
Okay.
Let me share one narration from Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam when he wanted to go to fight Khawarij and rebels.
Mm-hmm.
One of the companions came to Imam Ali and he said that this has some bad omen for you and you cannot go right now for fighting the rebels.
Very true.
What was the response of Imam Ali? Imam Ali said that right now I want to go and to fight with rebels because, of course, I'm quoting the gist of the narration, not the exact mm-hmm. translation of that. Imam said that because, the bad omen is only because of our actions and behavior.
Yeah.
We do not have such an idea in Islam about, for example, it has bad omen or good omen for you. And whatever we face is because of they are the natural consequences of our action,
mm-hmm.
and days and nights, a place, they are part of the nature, and they mm-hmm. are pure. Okay, they are innocent. They do mm-hmm. not have any omen for you.
Yeah, thank you very much, dear Sheikh. So we can conclude that we have no bad omen, time and days and nights, or let's say any part of the year. If some call, for example, the month of Safar to be a bad omen month, so it has no base, and whatever we see from goodness or badness is due to our activities and actions that we are actually doing and performing. So it's us who clarifies the path for good or bad omen. So whatever we see bad, it is due to our actions, because whatever comes from Allah's side is absolute goodness and pleasure. Thank you very much, dear brothers and sisters, and you, respected Sheikh, for answering the questions. Till our next show, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and congratulations to all on the decisive victory of Islam over the Israelite seditionists at the historic Battle of Khaybar that was won single-handedly by the command of the faithful Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. And here is what Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, told the Imam while sending him to conquer the impregnable fortress of Khaybar. Invite them to Islam and inform them of their duty towards Allah and Islam. By Allah, if He guides one single soul through you to the right way, it will be better for you than to own a huge treasure.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Murtaza and Sayyid Mohsen. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
And Sayyid Murtaza, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
So today, when you look at the media all around the world, a type of harsh, violent, barbaric picture is made out of the religion of Islam, especially with the creation of such groups like ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and the suicide bombing, you know, here and there. Especially the people in the West has a wrong view regarding the religion of Islam and the true teachings of Islam. Today we want to talk about this topic, how the religion of Islam can help international bodies to establish peace all around the world. Sayyid Mursa, let's start with you, brother. Islam is really a peaceful religion, isn't it?
Well, thank you very much. If you look at the word Islam itself, it has its deep root in peace and comfort. So these days we know that peacekeeping is a very essential and important part of everybody's life. I mean, the whole humanity needs to take refuge to peacekeeping. Otherwise, the same skirmish that we can see around the world is happening.
That's right.
And unfortunately, conflict and fights, have taken over, to many parts of the world, even very small communities around the world. So, unfortunately, some biased medias, are trying to instill this wrong idea that religious conflict is the root of all these problems around the world. And we know that it has become a very important issue these days. Okay. So the religion of Islam is very much interested and even is trying to disseminate this true ideology that peace and religion are together. So any religion who's trying to propagate conflict, discomfort and problems is not actually a true religion. So
that's right.
Islam is telling us that peacekeeping or keeping peace among all humanity is very essential and is necessary.
Okay, and there have been so many conversions to the religion of Islam because of the peace that it brings into the society and also at the individual mental level. You know, the people who has converted, when you ask them, one of the reasons is this tranquility, calmness, and peace of mind that it brings to you. This is one individual aspect, but when you look at the societal, social, collective aspect, you can find also this kind of peace. Sayyid Mohsen, what's your comment on that, brother?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, first of all, we should know that that the religion has a strong influence on the people.
Yes.
In belief and in their faith. So, and we know that the people, they cannot live without having a belief or faith. Even the atheists do have a belief on which they obviously rely. Therefore, we see different religions in the world and we see people divided into different religions. But the Islam, as brother has said in its name, it has the word peace itself.
Yes.
And according to one meaning, we refer to the religion of peace. Therefore, Islam has a big contribution in order to make a peace. And obviously, it depends whether we follow the Islam in its true way or not. Because everything has two kinds of use. It can be used properly or it can be misused. So when we talk about the religion of Islam and its contribution towards the peace in the world, we can see that the Islam is the complete version of all the religions.
Okay.
And it has everything within it. And because it's the final religion, we can say like from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
Therefore, it also refers to the peace as well. And on top of that, we, the slogans even in the Quran and that are given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are not general or general slogans. For example, when he talks about his prophet, he wants to introduce his prophet. He says he's Rahmatul Lil Alameen.
Yes.
He's the mercy for all the worlds. So the one who is mercy for all the worlds means that he is the bringer of peace to all the worlds, basically.
That's right.
So when we talk about the worlds, obviously it's different
yes.
states.
Okay.
So we can say like Islam has a big contribution if we really follow the true Islam.
That's right.
Because nowadays the problem is that the enemies are propagating against Islam and
yes.
People do not know the real source
yes.
of the Islam.
That's right. But say, Murtaza, there are still some doubts and questions regarding the misunderstanding out of the religion of Islam, because the extremist groups who are really the pioneers of showing a kind of violent, barbaric picture of Islam to the world refer to the same text of the Holy Quran that calls Prophet Muhammad as Rahmatul Alameen. But they understood it in this way to kill here and there, to commit suicide, you know, and such, you know, violent actions that are every day shown on the Western media, on the news, you know, here and there. You can find, you know, so many clips, video clips, the audios here and there. And that's why even some of the scholars of religions in the world at the universities believe that these violent things are based on the very text of the Quran and the context in which Islam was created. What's your answer to that?
Well, actually, let's look at the wrong misinterpretation of some verses of the Holy Quran. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, some people that you call them scholars, they have their own interpretations, which has no actually base and roots in Islamic principles and ideologies. And unfortunately, we have this idea that the religious leaders who have a very crucial role in bringing peace into communities, highly important to know, and it's really good to know that we all have a very important task to establish peace mm-hmm. among all communities. This part has been forgotten by these people, that they are just by name scholars.
Okay.
And unfortunately, they are not very much involved in interpreting the true aspects of some verses of the Holy Quran.
Okay.
So these pictures that have been broadcasted around the world are just coming from those interpretations that are not true. So if, on the other hand, we have another downside of this issue, that many scholars do not get themselves involved in providing the true interpretation of those verses and give them the information and give such information to those who are going to fight in order to bring peace, not to bring conflicts.
That's right.
So some fighting is not all about creating conflicts. People sometimes are dragged into fighting. I can call them not fight jihad because they want to bring peace. Unfortunately, this has not been interpreted correctly.
That's right. This interpretation of the verses of the Quran, and the thing is that they delete some part and they add some part to the verses of the Holy Quran. The context in which that verse was revealed is not known to them. And if you look at the history and how much the religion of Islam could help establishing peace among the families and the societies on the Arab Peninsula at the time of Prophet Muhammad, it would be really beautiful from the side of the scholars. But Sayyid Mohsen, still, as I said, there are some commentaries written on the verses of the Holy Quran and the incidents, especially after the demise of the Prophet Muhammad, about the wars that took place by the Muslim leaders and the kings here and there in different lands of the societies, show that maybe Islam was spread by sword and not words. What's your answer to that, brother?
Well, the problem started right after the demise of the Prophet.
Okay.
And for your previous and the recent question which you asked, for both of them, the answer is that the main root of this diversion and this extremism which we see in today's world, it's because right after the demise of Prophet, there were some people who said, Hasbuna kitab Allah. The book of Allah is enough for us.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the book of Allah brings the overall or general rules, and the detailed rules and the details are in the life of the Prophet, in the narrations of the Prophet. So when they left the sunnah of the Prophet and the narrations of the Prophet, and they just attached, and they got the book only,
yes,
which they couldn't even understand, because the book of Allah, Quran, has in its verses, there are some hidden meanings.
Yes.
There are some clear wordings. There are some mutashabih, there are some similar,
yes,
things which are said. There are some clear, the muhkamat, mutashabihat,
right,
have,
yes,
different meanings, obviously, as well. But obviously, there is nasikh and mansukh. There was a rule, and later by the Prophet,
yes,
it was overruled, and then the new rule,
right,
came. So when we look at the Quran, it has different aspects.
Mm-hmm.
In order to understand the Quran, we need to refer back to the history of the revelation.
That's right.
Why this verse was revealed,
okay,
upon the Prophet.
Yes.
Because of whom? What happened? Who did what? so that the Prophet has said this or Allah has revealed the verses. So when they left all these things, these details, and they just got the book on its own without the teacher, without the explanation which was given by the Prophet, we can see all those issues that happen into the Islam. And the picture today that we have, that Islam is spread by the sword, this was never happened in the life of Prophet. Prophet never, invaded any place. Rather, the battles which he had, it was in defense of Islam. He was defending the Muslims. And at that time, it is true that it was out of the Medina. Why? Because at that time, whenever there used to be a battle, they used to go at a common place, which was in the middle of like two countries or two places. So this was the reason, basically. That's so the main reason is when some people left the sayings of the Prophet, Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salam, which were obviously Allah has also emphasized on this. And the Prophet also said, I'm leaving amongst you two things, the Quran and Ahlul Bayt. So when they just got the Quran and they left Ahlul Bayt, they left the sayings of the Prophet narrations, the explanations about the verses, that's what happens generally. And this wrong picture that today we have is because of leaving the explanations given by the Prophet.
And the Ahlul Bayt also as the true exegesis of the Holy Quran. But in the 21st century, still after 14 centuries, after the relation of the Holy Quran to Prophet Muhammad and Islam, how do you think, Sayyid Murtaza, Islam and its teachings, its true teachings, I would like to very much use this term, pure Muhammadan Islam's teachings, you know, can help international bodies like these different international bodies that are working for peace, you know. Whenever you look at the main slogans and the mottos of these organizations, you can find peace. How Islam can help them in today's world?
You know, let's look at this question from another point of view. So all religions, including the religion of Islam, to some extent came and it was descended to prophets to bring peace and bring nations together. So it is a duty we all have, and this has been bestowed upon us, that we must work very hard to teach and influence on each and every community on the earth in order to live and live a peaceful life and to be a follower of this peaceful life. So the religion of Islam has put a great emphasis on this aspect. And if you can see, wherever we have gatherings, meetings, the first thing that is been mentioned by the speakers and those leaders, especially religious leaders, is the unity. So when we talk about unity and the united nation, so it means that Islam is putting its greatest slogan and mottos on unity. So unity is not happening without understanding, without mutual understanding, especially about religious matters. So the religion of Islam is focusing on similarities. The differences are not going to be given the first priority. So similarities bring people together. So this aspect is the one that Islam has been propagated and has been talked about this matter over centuries.
Especially as you said, reaching a kind of common ground among the Islamic leaders between themselves and also the leaders of the other religious communities, and being united is a really important one. You know, the meetings that are happening today and the dialogue, both interfaith and intrafaith dialogues that are taking place and established in today's world, show that all religious leaders are after making this peace in the world and not the conflict. But unfortunately, this media and the power of the media is showing it the way around.
And of course, you know that we need to work in order to build relationships. And relations of trust, with other religions. And this is what Islam has been always doing. You know, over the past centuries, we had our infallible imams, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And on top of all, we have the Book of Islam, Quran, is telling us and its followers that a amicable relationship with other religions and with other followers of the other religions is really of a great importance. So this shows that Islam has already said clearly that peace with and to other nations and anyone is very important.
Sayyid Mohsen, thank you very much, brothers, for your presence in the program. viewpoints regarding how the religion of Islam can establish peace in today's world. It was very kind of you. And dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, view our website at parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Also, our YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Thank you so much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. You can log on to our website at parstoday.com, and you can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until next time, goodbye. A symphony of nature. Oh, it's taking my breath away. I'm so blessed out here today.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Hello everyone and welcome to The Light. Color, beauty and entertainment. The French city of Nice hosts a dazzling and flashy event. The so-called Battle of the Flowers took place on Saturday. Performers on top of animal-themed floats waved at the crowd and threw flowers at the audience while musicians played live. Each of the 16 floats was decorated with around 3,000 flowers. Also, thousands of people attended the event. The Battle of the Flowers is part of the carnival in Nice, which has been held annually for almost 150 years. An endangered Mediterranean monk seal has embarked on a new solo adventure after spending months under the care of conservationists. Four-month-old Evie was released back into the wild on February 15th in northern Greece. Evie was rescued when she was only 7 days old. She had been washed ashore and separated from her nursing mother during a storm. However, conservationists found the lucky seal and started taking care of her. Even though Evie's health was poor, she recuperated quickly.
She was really dehydrated in the beginning, which is very common with pups that separate from their mothers at such an early age. And the first few weeks were critical for her health because there's basically no way to replenish, like to replace the mother's milk. So we have a certain protocol and a food regimen that we provide along with vitamins and other supplements to the seal. And thankfully, in the first few weeks, she showed signs of her health status became better.
The conservationists hope Evie will be able to join a community of her species soon. They will be tracking her movements with a chip. There are only a few hundred Mediterranean monk seals left in the wild. About half of them live in Greece. Entrapment from fishing, pollution, depletion of food, resources, and climate change are some of the threats facing the species.
History shows a gun barrel never stops people from acquiring their learning tools. A bookshop in the besieged Gaza Strip is a testimony as book lovers flooded the store months after it was flattened in an Israeli airstrike. The new Samir Mansour bookshop, funded by an international donor campaign, now stands some 200 meters from its original site. It was destroyed by an Israeli airstrike on the west of Gaza City last year. The new shop is spread across two floors and is stocked with some 400,000 books. They range from school texts to the Quran to Arabic translations of European literary classics. Hundreds of people, including writers and Palestinian officials, attended the bookshop's reopening. The store first opened its doors 30 years ago and is considered the oldest and the biggest in Gaza.
The City of London usually welcomes arts and culture from all over the world, including Iran. In our next report, Bianca Rahimi will be taking us to a performance that fuses music from across the East.
A dream has become a reality. The Conference of the Birds, composed by the brilliant young musician Mehsan Marvasti and inspired by a poem of the same name written by poet Attar of Nishapur in the 12th century, performed here in London. It's a story all Iranians are familiar with, about an epic journey to find the Simurgh.
The Simurgh is to the east what the phoenix is to the west, a mythical creature that symbolizes transformation. And the story of the Simurgh is a spiritual one, full of courage, determination, and self-discovery.
Well, I think it's the first time I've seen so prominently advertised a non-Western musical traditional concert. And I've got a long-standing interest in music from the different parts of the Islamic world. It kind of evokes sort of deeper feelings, spiritual feelings. And the fact that this specific concert is about kind of a spiritual poem, it taps into something which I think a lot of us are looking for, especially in this post-pandemic, current pandemic situation. We're looking for some deeper meanings. So I think it will be striking a chord for a lot of people.
It's a mix of fusion of different music, and that's always interesting, and it's Eurasian music, and it uses different instruments from across Asia to represent birds, and it just sounded lovely.
Even though there are differences, cultural differences between these places and these peoples, and those differences should be recognised in general, that through things like music and art, there can also be synergy, and like, yeah, things can work together as well.
5 years in the making, the Conference of the Birds, conducted by Farnoush Behzad, brought together musicians and instruments from across the world. It fuses Azeri, Chinese, Indian, Arabic, Afghan, Armenian and Persian music, brought to the audience by a Western orchestra. The performance was accompanied by two elocutionists who narrated the story and animated clips of birds and their migratory lives. The art and culture of Iran needs no introduction, renowned worldwide. But young Iranian artists living far from home are always looking for ways to capture the spirit of their homeland and offer Western audiences a taste of Iran. Bianca Rahimi, London.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Axolotls are unique Mexican amphibians at risk of extinction, and many conservation programs are now trying to save these strange-looking animals. An ecological park in Mexico City is the latest place to celebrate them. It has held a ceremony for releasing baby axolotls into their natural habitat, which is the mud. These amphibians are so special that even a number of city officials attended the event. Conservationists say having a clean environment is key to their survival.
I've managed to breed up to 22,000 axolotls. In all of Xochimilco, there are 90 axolotls across 90 kilometers, but the quality of the axolotls depends on the quality of biologist you are. Bad quality water has killed anywhere from 12,000 to 15,000.
Researchers have discovered that axolotls can absorb oxygen from the surface of their skin and are therefore more vulnerable to dirty water and environments. More than 70 breeding centers across Mexico have joined the rally of saving these critically endangered species. Many are even marketing them as ideal pets, but to animal advocates, keeping axolotls as pets is a definite no-no.
And for those who are interested in archaeology, the remains of 14 mummies have been unearthed at an ancient site in central Peru. The mummies, believed to be over 1,000 years old, include 6 children and 8 adults. The tomb containing the bodies was found at an archaeological complex about 25 kilometers from the capital, Lima. Researchers discovered other objects such as clay pots, decorated calabashes, and some knitting gears near the mummies. They believe the children and adults were sacrificed in honor of a prominent local figure whose mummified body was found last November in the same area. Van Dalen says the discovery provides them with the oldest evidence of child sacrifice associated with the burial of an elite character in the pre-Inca era. The city of Cajamarquia, which was built out of mud in around 200 BC, is considered as one of the largest archaeological complexes in Peru.
A miniature bull in Germany's Bavaria is proving that size does not matter, as the small bovine makes himself comfortable in his new herd at an animal sanctuary. This tiny bull had a lucky escape and was rescued from a farmer who was taking him to a slaughterhouse. The mini cow is named Napoleon and was born with a genetic defect. Just 8 months old, the diminutive bull has already reached his full size. Napoleon might be small, but he is mighty and daring, as he is not afraid of joining a herd consisting of big and huge animals.
Napoleon belongs to the Dexter breed, which produces rather small cattle anyway. They grow up to be about 1.2 meters. With his 80 centimeters, he's of course far below that. Despite his size, he feels like a complete bull and is in a good mood. He has settled in with us very quickly, which we are very happy about. He also has a lively effect on the herd.
The little bovine now lives with 100 other rescued livestock. His rescuers say he gets along with other animals and has already become friendly with another rescued cow. The Dexter is a breed of cattle first originated in Ireland. They are usually bred for high-quality meat and milk. An Indonesian man frees a crocodile of a tire that was stuck around its neck some 6 years ago. Tilly, a self-taught rescuer and resident of Central Sulawesi province, captured the reptile and cut the tie using a small saw with the help of some locals. The animal had been too smart to be trapped. Tilly says he had been tracking the reptile for weeks using a basic trap with a rope tied to a log. He used live chickens and dogs as bait to lure the reptile. The crocodile drew the sympathy of local residents who worried the tire would choke as it grows in size. Tilly says his main motive was to help animals, claiming it was not his first experience dealing with a crocodile.
Biologists in Peru release 2 birds back to their natural habitat after weeks of efforts to attend and conserve dozens of animals affected by an oil spill. 2 birds were among some 200 animals found dehydrated and were brought to a veterinary hospital for treatment. Veterinarians, biologists, and volunteers have been leading the cleanup operation of the affected coast close to the capital, Lima. So far, several species have been released after rehabilitation. An oil tanker off the coast of Peru was hit by waves triggered by a volcanic eruption miles away in Tunga in January. Some 6,000 barrels of oil spilled into the ocean that polluted waters and beaches along Peru's Pacific coast.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you
we present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah the Almighty, dear brothers and sisters, in faith and humanity, salamu alaikum, peace and salutations of Allah the Creator be upon all of you. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio from Iran. This is today's special. We're going to speak about importance of dua and supplication. I invite you to be with us till the end of this episode. First, we'll look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 24th of Rajab, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 7th of Isfand, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 26th of February, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we start with the Holy Quran. We choose chapter Ghafir, verse 60 for today. Let's listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Wa qala rabbukum ud'uni astajib lakum. Innal ladhina yastakbiruna 'an 'ibadati sayadkhuluna jahannama madakhirin.
And your Lord says, call upon me, I will respond to you. Indeed, those who disdain my worship will enter hell rendered contemptible.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In this famous verse, the Quran has a message for us from the one who is your Lord, the one who knows what you need, what suits you, and what can develop you. Know that the verse mentions call me, not necessarily ask me. We usually think that dua means asking, but it does not necessarily involve requesting. It is a broader concept that includes all kinds of calling. For us as the servants of Allah, the most important thing is to be able to communicate and be connected to our Lord. Not only can we not survive without Allah, but we cannot survive without being connected to Him. This is today's special. We're speaking about importance of dua and supplication. The holy month of Rajab, Shaban, and Ramadan in Islamic calendar are a special time for supplicating to Allah. Dua, or supplication or praying, is especially encouraged. Believers spend a lot of time in these months praying to the Almighty, asking for their needs of this world and the hereafter. Apart from the recommended du'as for the nights and days, we are told to be in a constant state of prayer and du'a. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, in Nahjul Balagha, letter 31, said, "He has opened for you the door of repentance. Therefore, whenever you call him, he hears your call. And whenever you whisper to him, He knows the whisper. You place before him your needs, unveil before him yourself. Complain to him for your worries, beseech him to remove your troubles. Seek his help in your efforts, and ask from the treasures of his mercy what no one else has the power to give, namely long life, health of body, an increase of livelihood.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about the conditions and etiquettes of praying to God. Among the religious universals or universals of world religions, there are certain elements and there are certain practices, and one of them is concerned with praying and offering prayers to the deity. I mean, in general. And in the Islamic religion, it holds true regarding offering prayers to God. In the Islamic religion, prayers are addressed to God. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ultimate being in the whole world. So he is capable of, fulfilling whatever we wish. In the Holy Quran, in the Surah Al-Ghafir, verse number 6, it's indicated, "Ud'uni astajib lakum." Call me so that I would fulfill your desires. In this regard, it must be indicated that according to the instructions of the first infallible Imam, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, when someone wants to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they should do in a certain way. Simply requesting, I mean, offering a request or wording a request to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to God, isn't enough. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam indicated that the first condition is that one should be repentant regarding the wrongdoings he or she has committed. Another one is a resolute decision regarding not to commit sins again. The third one is recompensing. The third one is compensating the rights of other people. If in our life we have made some mistakes, hence we infringed the rights of other people, in order to have our prayers well fulfilled, we have to do otherwise. We have to compensate the jobs or, for example, wrongdoings we might have committed.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special,
be like the earth, humble and wise, be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
If you are with today's special from IRIB English Radio, you will hear about etiquettes and requisites of supplication. From the etiquettes, at the first step, we reach to recognition of Allah, one of the most significant requisites for the acceptance of a prayer, is the knowledge of Allah. Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny, the last prophet of Allah, said, "Had you recognized Allah with the recognition due to him, your prayers would have dislodged the mountains. Had you recognized Allah with the recognition due to him, your prayers would have dislodged the mountains." It is reported that once Imam Sadiq alayhi salam recited the verse, Is not He, Allah, the one who answers the call of the distressed person when he invokes Him? So he was asked, why is it that we invoke but are not answered? Imam alayhi salam replied, because you invoke one whom you do not recognize and you pray for what you do not know.
سيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي يوما بيده ناصيتي يا أليما بذري ومسكنتي يا خبيرا بفقري بفاقتي.
One of the effects of dua is pleases the Almighty. Allah loves that believers should pray to Him constantly. He says in the Holy Quran, in chapter 25, verse 77, Allah would not care for you were it not for your supplications. A hadith, traditions also tell us of how Allah loves those who pray and ask from Him. God loves nothing better than that His servants ask from Him. That was the tradition from Imam Baqir, peace be upon him. Supplicate for. There is nothing like dua to get you closer to Allah. And do not leave out your minor needs. For the one who is the master of the major needs is also the master of the minor ones. That was a beautiful tradition from Imam Sadiq.
One of the greatest blessings upon us is that we have a Lord who invites us to speak to Him at any time, whenever, at all times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us to speak to Him. And this is a blessing upon us as individuals. In fact, the opportunity to speak with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a blessing that we all have, but not many people take advantage of. And not many people know how to take advantage of this opportunity. We have direct access to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, at any time, and to say whatever is in our minds, is in our hearts, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many of us take this opportunity? How many of us take this opportunity and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبُ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ. When my ibad, when my servants ask about me, tell them I'm close and I will answer whoever calls upon me.
That was another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Keep us in your dua and supplication. Have a nice time. Fi amanillah.
Allahumma ighfir li warhamni wahdini ya mawlaya afini fi dunyaya warzuqni warzuqni ذكرك يشرح صدري ذكرك يرفع قدري أدعوك وتجزيني بالرحمة والأجر
Allahumma ighfir li. Allahumma arhamni.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.